Father, I just thank you for Thomas and thank you for the opportunity that he has here to share with us. And thank you for the work that you have done in his heart and life in bringing him thus far on his journey.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for your faithfulness and your steadfast love to him in his life. Bless him now as he shares and give him grace and strength to just share all the wonderful good things that you have done in his heart and how you have transformed him to become like Jesus. Amen.
Okay. Amen. Thank you. Good morning. This morning, I'd like to talk about our personal value and idolatry and how those two connect to each other. When you hear the word idolatry, what comes to your mind? Not a trick question. Just shout it out. What comes to your mind when you hear idolatry?
Statues.
Statues, idols. What else?
Worship.
Yes. Security. Yes. I used to think, yeah, idols, I mean, it's Old Testament. It seems very archaic. Like, it seems kind of dumb. Like, why would you, like, see what God did? You know God exists. And then you just decide to go make a piece of wood, you know, a piece of iron, and, like, bow down to this and, like, say, this is your God. It's like, wait, what? You saw who God is. Like, how can you do this? And, you know, I always think, yeah, it's like, it is relevant to today, you know, but it's different. Like, it's not as crazy as it was back then. You know, yeah, like everything that I love more than God is an idol to me. That's, you know, I knew that in my head. Well, this spring I took an extended time off of work, and as part of that time, I spent a couple days camping by myself out in the woods, in nature, with a goal to connect with God, to find renewed purpose, renewed vision for life, and renewed freedom in Christ. One day, one morning, God very clearly, specifically showed me a motive in my heart that was just such a deep revelation. And here's what it was. I was wanting to walk in freedom from sin, right? That's good. That's very good. But why? It was so that I didn't have to confess my sin to other people, so that I don't have to look bad to them, so that they'll think well of me. And it so grieved me. And I repented of that and found freedom. Yeah, I was wanting to please the people around me instead of God. That's what it came down to. And I was just asking myself these questions. Why do I care so much about what people think of me? Why am I not living and walking in who God says I am? And then I listened to a message by Norm Wakefield on idolatry. And God just smote me so deeply in my heart. I've never been the same. And I don't think I ever will be. Here's a few thoughts for you to ponder. A few questions. When you feel empty inside, when you feel a lack of purpose, when you're looking for something to satisfy you, when you don't feel valued, where do you turn to? What's your go-to? I started seeing the things in my life that I was turning to instead of turning to God. All the moments that God wanted me, that God brought to my life, that he wanted me to take the opportunity to turn to him, find my satisfaction, fulfillment, and purpose in him, I was turning to other things that ultimately didn't satisfy. Let's look at a few passages where it talks about idolatry. I'm just going to read them to you. You can feel free to find it if you want, but just listen to the words. Listen for the word worship. Exodus 20, verse 1 to 6. I'm going to read from the NLT version. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or in the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them. You must or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children of the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. Isn't that exciting? To me, that's like such, that's a beautiful vision. Wow, like you mean I can be, if I'm turning to God and walking with God and loving God and not the things he created, this can affect the next generation, my children, their children's children, in a beautiful way. Let's look at Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to read this to you as well. Deuteronomy 8, 6 to 20 in the NLT version. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of flowing streams and pools of water, with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is as common as stone and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry, he gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did this so you would never say to yourself, I've achieved this wealth through my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you will also be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. And these things were just really hitting my heart. These are things I knew in my head, but God was speaking them to my heart. I could feel them. I was starting to grasp the concept, starting to understand. We're going to look at Colossians 3, 5 to 6. Verse 5 to 6 in NLT. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Now, how is a greedy person an idolater? He's worshiping the things of this world. He's trying to find his satisfaction and fulfillment in the things of this world. That's what he's worshiping. And that's idolatry because he's turned to something other than God for his ultimate fulfillment, satisfaction, and purpose. And then we're going to go to Romans 1, 18 to 25. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. And listen to this. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. When was the last time you worshiped something God created instead of God himself? You were created to worship God, not the things he created. The things he created should remind us of his goodness and cause us to worship him. So, how does your personal value and idolatry go together? You're going to look for your personal value either in God or something else. Idolatry is when you look somewhere else, anywhere else. A person, maybe it's your father, your mother, your brother, maybe it's your husband, your wife. A thing, it can be a car, technology. Technology is a tremendous idol in our day and age that's so easy to bow down to, frankly, to give into, because it's right with us all the time and with our phones. Ideas. Maybe you have a certain thing you always want, an expectation out of your life, and you look to the people around you to try to fulfill that. And so they end up paying the price for you to try to get what you want, to fulfill your idea of what life should be like. Luke chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. This is Jesus talking. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple." Wow. That's a high calling that I can work on the rest of my life. To love God that much, to turn to him that consistently in my need and for my ultimate satisfaction. God is a jealous God who will not tolerate our affection for any other gods. We need to worship him because of who he is, because he asks us to. So when you're empty inside, when you're looking for something to satisfy you, when you feel a lack of purpose, when you don't feel valued, find your satisfaction and value in God. You might say, how? Get to know God. Study the Bible to see who he says he is. Study to see who he says you are as his child. Talk to God about this. Make space in your life practically for him to speak to you. For me, it was taking some time out camping in the woods, taking special time aside, being very intentional. It didn't just happen. Be willing to let God work not only in your mind, but in your heart. And that can be scary sometimes. Let him bring the truth of who he is and who you are into the depths of your heart, your emotions, and your life story. He created you. He created your whole life, your whole life story. He knows it very well. And he wants to be a part of that. And he wants to be part of that journey with you. We're going to look at Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." Let me close with a quote from John Piper that's been a longtime favorite of mine, but it has become filled with new meaning for me. "God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When I'm satisfied in him, when I'm satisfied in God and his love for me, he will be glorified. How? Because it's precisely then that I have the exciting and the freeing ability to show his true love to the people around me, No longer do I have to conjure up the world's kind of love that simply loves other people for what they can get out of them. And if you can't get that thing out of them anymore, then you stop loving them. So, my encouragement is, look to God. Find your ultimate satisfaction and fulfillment in God. May God bless you.